This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parshas Noach, some beautiful ideas on this week's Parsha. The first idea I saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gevoyah in the name of Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna. A very interesting idea. The Pasuk begins in this week's Parsha, Eile Toldos Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik, Tomim Hoy B'Dorosov, Es Ha'elokim Hishalech Noach. The Torah tells us three praises of Noach. He was a tzaddik. He was Tomim Hoy B'Dorosov, and Es Ha'elokim Hishalech Noach, and he walked with Hashem. Says Rashi, the next pasuk says, Vatishoches Ha'oretz Lifnei Ha'elokim, Vatimoleh Ha'oretz Chomos, that the world became corrupt, and the world was full of chomos, of robbery and violence. Says Rashi, what exactly does that mean? Vatishoches is a loshen erev of avodah zarah. It refers to two crimes, orias, immorality, avodah zarah, and idolatry. And Rashi proves it. Vatimoleh Ha'oretz Chomos is a reference to Geza. So three aveiras that is referenced in the first pasuk, orias, avodah zarah, and Geza. Says Rav Shlomo Cohen of Vilna, very interesting thing. There's intent, there's specific intent of the pasuk to praise Noach in these three ways. There were three sins that the Dor HaMabul engaged in. Vehein, and they are avodah zarah, gidei arayos, v'gezel, like we just said. Lefichoch, therefore, hidgish hakosuv, the Torah points out, shenoach hoya noki v'tzadik mekolele. He was innocent and he was a tzadik in all of these three areas. How so? Ish tzadik. Noach is described as ish tzadik. Says the Shlomo Cohen, hainu shelo ne'ne minagezel. Tzidkus means he didn't benefit at all, didn't touch anything which was not his, no theft. Tomim hoya b'day reisov. He was perfect in his generation, says Rav Shlomo Cohen of Vilna, shelechotu begilarayas, i.e., shehvahoyu doyrosov, his generations, shelo, were tamimim, were perfect, were complete, v'shleimim, v'zaru meyuchas acharov, and his children were rightly attributed back to him. There was no illegitimate relationships, and therefore his children were meyuchas back to him. That's what it means by Tom Hoyba Darosov. He was clean of anything to do with Gilu Arias. And the last one, Be'esolokim, is Halech Noach. That means Shelo Nichshav Avodah Zarah, that he didn't slip in Avodah Zarah. Rak Ovad Esolokim, Boreh Shemayim Ba'aretz, Lefichach Nitzel Mi'amabul. In other words, Noach, when the Torah praises him with these very unique descriptions, Ish Tzadik, Tom Hoyba Darosov, Esolokim, is Halech Noach, says of Shlomo Cohen of Vilna that these three praises were referencing the three aveiras that were going on at the time, namely Erva, Avodah Zarah, and Gezel. And Ish Tzadik means that he didn't get any benefit from Gezel. Tomei B'Dorosov, he didn't slip with Gilu Arayos. His Doros were all his. And lastly, Esolokim is Halech Noach, he didn't follow Avodah Zarah. Okay, there's a famous Rashi, moving on to the next idea. Famous Rashi, when the Pasuk says, Tomim Hoya B'Dorosov, Rashi brings a machlokas. If you take a look at the box number two, if you're listening online, I'm not sure if I've said it, please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the sheet. It says Rashi, B'day Reisov, Yesh mirabuseinu darshim osay l'shvach. Some of our rabbis interpret this phrase, l'shvach, as a praise, as follows. Kol shekein she'ilu hoy b'dar tzadikim, hoy tzadik yoseh. If this is what Noach can achieve in a very degenerate generation, how much more so if he was living in a generation of tzaddikim? And there are those who interpret it negatively. According to his generation, he was a tzaddik. However, had he been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't amount to anything. Strong language. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, look at the next box, an amazing idea. I saw this again in the Shulchan Gevoyah. In the name of, it was quoted by the grandson of Rav Shimon Shkop, Rav Zelig Epstein. This is what he says. Look at the next box. Normally we explain the machlokas shenechleku al midas gadlus shel Noach. That they're arguing about the greatness of Noach. And those who interpret it negatively, he was only a tzaddik in a relative term. In the generation of Avram, Noach wouldn't have been recognized as a tzaddik. That's the normal way to understand it. Shimon Shkop, one of the great Rosh Hashivas of the early 1900s, says that's not Pshat, the Rosh Hashiva of Grodno. Ledaita, according to his interpretation, Hakol maskimim shenoach ochein hoya tzaddik. Everyone agrees that Noach was indeed a big tzaddik. The madrega gevoya muchubedes, on a very lofty level. Rak shenech lekuhadeus, but the argument is, be'ezedur yoysa yakosh elama da madrega zubishal matzah hador. Which is harder to progress spiritually, to maintain a high standard, in which type of generation? Next paragraph. Yesh darshim nishvach, there are those who interpret it as a praise. Shebedur shal noach, bechevras kol rishay hadar hamma'ameitz la'agia l'madrega zu hayogodol b'yeser. That in the generation of Noach, with contemporaries who were evil, it's very, very difficult. It needs a lot of effort and fortitude to achieve a high level. V'imhoi bedur shal Avram, and had he been in the generation 10 generations later, he would have been an even greater tzaddik. Because all the impediments have been removed. However, the other argument is the opposite. No. Dafka in a generation where evil is sort of proliferating. On the contrary, it's the degenerate nature of the generation which is prompting him to do such great things. And therefore, Dafka to this Madrega the generation was a catalyst for him to become great. But had he lived in the generation of Avraham, then he wouldn't have had that catalyst. He wouldn't have had the degenerate company that would have spurred him on to greater heights. So says Rav Shimon Shkop, and a fantastic idea, that's really Noach, he was a tzaddik unquestioned. The question is, what prompts a person to grow? Is it good company or is it bad company? Is it good company that really is what motivates a person and that spurs him on, sort of a kinas sofrim? Or is it the bad company that's actually what spurs you on to greater heights? But everyone agrees that he was a tzaddik gomor. Okay, that's the second offering. The third offering is magnificent, if I may say so myself. I heard it from our Pinchas Roberts, a really remarkable idea. There is a tradition in Klal Yisrael that when you finish the Torah and you begin the Torah again, you connect somehow the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. And every year on Parshas Bereishis, sometimes Parshas Noach, Rabbi Roberts would do this, he would speak, and in his masterful way, he would somehow connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. And one year, he said the following idea. Noach comes into some heavy criticism. Despite all the accolades that the Torah lavishes praise on him, he seems to come into criticism, and we attribute to Noach the phrase a tzaddik in pelts. In Yiddish, you say a tzaddik in a fur coat. What does that mean? You see, there are two ways to get warm. One way is to put on a heavy coat. The other way is to make a fire where you stay warm, and you actually warm other people as well. Noach was criticized because he was known as a tzaddik in pelts, i.e. that he took care of himself and his family, but he wasn't successful to help the rest of society. So to that degree, there was a shortcoming. He wasn't as selfless as perhaps he was meant to be. Now, we'll come back to Noach in a moment. Let's take a look at what we learned a couple of weeks ago, what takes place at the very end of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and the final few psukim of the Torah are the epitaph of Moshe Rabbeinu, as if it's sort of on the matseva of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the final pasuk say? So let's take a look. Look at the bottom box, please. Olachol hayod hachazaka, olachol amoira hagodla she'osu Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. That's the final praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? It says Rashi, olachol hayod hachazaka she'kibel es haTorah beluchos biyodov. The Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah, accepted the Torah biyodov in his hand. That's when it says in the pasuk, olachol hayod hachazaka. That's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Torah. I get that. That's indeed an enormous praise. The Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole mission statement, his whole purpose was to go into Mitzrayim, to battle and to negotiate with Paro and to bring the Makkas and to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to bring them into the Midbar and to give them the Torah. When he went up to get the Torah, he battled with the Malachim. He didn't eat, sleep or drink for 40 days and 40 nights and he got the Torah. So that indeed is a praise. Next word, Olachol Hamoira Hagodl. What does that refer to? It says Rashi, Nisim Ugvura Sheba Midbar Hagodl Vahanoira. That's a reference to all the miracles that took place in the Midbar. Again, I fully understand that that is a very major praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he takes 3 million people into the Midbar, all the miracles, he feeds them, he gives them to drink, he protects them from the elements. So I understand that's a massive praise for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the final praise, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, what does that refer to? It says Rashi, She'nosu libo lishbar haluchos le'eneihem. That he thought to break the luchos in front of their eyes, as it says in the pasuk, Va'ashabrem le'eneihem, that I destroy the luchos in front of them. V'eskim adas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'dayetan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, agreed with him, She'nema she'shibarato yashikuch she'shibarato, well done for breaking them. That's it. That's the end of the Torah. There endeth the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. You think to yourself, really? The final praise, he broke the luchos, is a bit of an anticlimax. That's the last few, you know, as they're singing Chazak, Chazak, and Mischazek, and they've just completed the Torah, you're thinking, really? What's pshat? The Kasharov, Rav Pinchas Roberts quoted him, the Kasharov said the following, it's a Kabbalistic idea, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu had an element of the Neshama of Noach, and he had to sort of be mesaken, he had to rectify the shortcoming of Noach. What was Noach's shortcoming? So he said, a tzaddik in pelts, that he was not sufficiently selfless for the rest of the society in which he lived. Now, as a result of that, his neshama had to come back to be fixed. And Moshe Rabbeinu had that responsibility. Where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated exemplary selflessness? The answer is, says the Kasharov, at the point of when he said, Mecheni no misifricha. When did he say that? Well, let's think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu takes Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He brings the superpower to its knees. He inflicts the makkas. He brings them out. And as directed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he brings them into the Midbar. They cross the Yam, so they go into the Midbar. All the miracles in the Midbar. He then comes Matan Torah a few weeks later. He goes up to Har Sinai, battles with Malachim, gets the Torah, brings it down. And can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu's, his feeling, his depression, his frustration with Klal Yisrael, when he suddenly comes down from Har Sinai and he sees a group of Klal Yisrael dancing around an Egel Azov, how dejected he must have felt. As ever, the educator, Moshe Rabbeinu, comes down. He doesn't break the luchos to the top of the mountain. He wants to make it more impactful. So he says, as Rashi just says, he says, Vashabrem le'eneichem. He brings it all the way down to the bottom of the mountain. He breaks it le'eneichem in front of them to teach them, look what you've done. His whole raison d'etre was to give Torah to Klal Yisrael, which will be their manual for life. And Klal Yisrael have let him down, and he has to break the luchos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says to Moshe, I'm done with Klal Yisrael. Let's destroy them. I'll start over with you. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, Mecheni no misifricha. I'm with Klal Yisrael. if you destroy Klal Yisrael, then count me out. I'm with them. That at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated the height of selflessness towards Klal Yisrael. Says the Kasha Rav, when Moshe Rabbeinu says the words Mecheini No, Mecheini No backwards spell, Ani Noyach, I am Noyach. And in fact, the Novi, the Yeshaya and the Haftarot in this week's parash, in Parashas Noyach, when it says that in the Haftarot is very critical of Noyach, it says, Mei Noyach, the flood was the waters of Noyach, as if to point the finger at Noyach. He's to blame. Says the Kasha Rav, the word Mecheini, Mecheini no Mesifrach, Mecheini spells Mei Noyach. Those four letters make up the words Mei Noyach, i.e., that at that point Moshe Rabbeinu rectified the shortcoming of Noyach. An astonishing idea, remarkable idea. And then we go back to the last Rashi in Chumash, and I now understand the accolade. The accolade was that Moshe Rabbeinu was, he brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He battled, he got them the Torah, he did all the nisim in the Midbar, and he showed amazing selflessness. Amazing selflessness by breaking the Luchos, and yet, saying Mecheinu no Mesifrecho, attaching himself fully to Klal Yisrael. Okay, an amazing idea. Let's now press on with the next idea, which I heard in the name of Ram Gurvitz, but he was quoting a Malbin. And I think it's a timely message as ever for the times in which we're living. Take a look, please, at box number 4. So the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Mabul, and he instructs Noach to make a Teva. So take a look at the first Pasuk, Pasuk Yudalet. Asei lecho tevas atse goifer, kinim tases ha-teva v'chofarato oiso mebayso mechutz ba-koifer. Okay, make a Teva. Now what are the dimensions of this Teva? Says the Pasuk, v'ze ashe tase oiso, shlosh me'etz ama oirech, 300 amas long, chamishim ama rochbo, 50 amas wide, u'shloshim ama koimoso, and 30 amas high. So the dimensions are 300 long, 50 wide, and 30 high. What are the numbers are not insignificant. The numbers, of course, have deeper meaning. So the Malbim says an amazing, amazing insight. Says the Malbim. V'ze asher ta'ase oso, bolerames, shehashem yifreis kol ha'olam hachodosh, sukas sholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the world, is covering the world, and is protecting them in this teva, k'mosha biya b'tikunei zoya, like the Zoya says. What does that mean? Shehu yichud havoya v'alef dalet nun yud. There are two names which we most commonly refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem Havoya is spelt the Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey. That's the Havoya. What does that represent? Meire al Shema Have u'machadish. That represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and sustains the world from it was created from nothing. That's the Lashon of Havoya. Yud and Hey and a Vav and a Hey. The Shem Adnus, the Shem Aleph and the Dalet Nun Yud, is Moire and Hashmira v'Hashkocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to supervise and sustain the world, and he sort of intercedes and is supervising, controlling the world. Ve'esi sochi chavoye al Adnus shemoninu oile sukkah. We discussed this at Sukkah's time, that if you take the gematrias of the two most common names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is 26, and the Adnus, which is 65, together that counts, that totals 91, which is the gematria of Sukkah. Sukkah, the two Shemes of Hashem, you go into the Sukkah, there's a divine protection. But says the Malbim, Yotza Mispar Sholem, that if you do the Mispar, the fullness of these two names, you get Sholem. Now how so? So I've put it in a box. So if you take a look at the box in front of you, and again, if you haven't got it, email me j.golk@gmail.com and I'll send you the sheet. But take a look. If you put in a chart the four letters of the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and then you take the Shem Hashem, Yud, a Hey, and a Vav, and a Hey, and you just sort of multiply it out. So for example, the Aleph of the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, you times by the first letter, you times the first letters of each word together. So Aleph and a Yud, 1 times 10 gives you 10. The Dalet The next letter you times with the second letter. Dalet you times with a hey. So that's 4 times 5 is 20. The third letter is nun times vav. Nun is 50, vav is 6. That makes 300. And the final letters of the shame, yud, hey, and vav, hey, and the name of aleph and the dalet, nun, yud, is a yud and a hey, which again, times by each other is 50. In other words, the composite, the milui, the fullness of these two shemes of Hashem, which represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and that's the Yud Hey and the Vav Hey, and the Admus name, which is the name where HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls and is Mashkiach on everything. If you take those two together and you times them together, you get 10 and 20 and 350. Now, what is that? Those are the dimensions of the Teva. You've got the 50, you've got the 300, and the 20 and 10, total 30. The three dimensions of the Teva, 300 by 50 by 30. But more than that, the four letters of the word Shalom, if you add it to the total, which is 300, the 350 and 30 gives you 380, which equals the gematria of Shalom, which include the four letters of the word Shalom. You do it milu. That's what Rashi said. That's what the Baratunur said, the Malbim says. Vav shel avoy, etc. The mispar Shalom im hakodel gives you the total of 380. What's the idea? What's the Malbim trying to say? That the message of the Teva is that we all go through our personal floods, but whilst they may threaten to engulf us, that the only refuge, the only respite is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You know, you can look at all different types, and you know, as I said before, we're living in crazy times, and no one really knows what's going on. No one really knows. The hope of a vaccination is still beyond us. And the greatest minds are grappling with this. The world has been turned upside down. And the message of the Malbim is as timely as ever. When there is a flood, when there is a person is or the world is going through its own difficulties that threaten, like I say, to engulf us, the only refuge is in the Teva, which is the dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. the two Shemes of Hashem. And together they represent the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and is in control of it and oversees everything that goes on. Okay, let's move on. The next idea I saw in the Sefer of Rabbi Shmuel, Zichrin Levracha, and he says that this in Parshas Tetzaveh, but I made a note of it. I just thought it's very interesting to highlight a very beautiful behavior, very beautiful idea in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Kahan. Rabbi Eliezer Kahan was the Menahel of Gateshead Yeshiva. This is many decades ago. He, for those in London who know, he was the father-in-law of Chazan Siegel, Chazan Pesach Siegel. If I'm not mistaken, in fact, Rabbi Eli Siegel is named after his Zeda, his Rabbi Eliezer Kahan. And he says the following idea on the Pasuk in this week's parasha. As we said above, Vatishaches ha'aretz lifnei ha'olekim. And the world was destroyed lifnei ha'olekim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Menahel, says Rabbi Eliezer Kahan, he says that there is a hint in the Pasuk as to what the catalyst, what the root of the problem was. We mentioned earlier that Rashi says there were three problems. There was Avodah Zorah, there was Gilui Arayos, and there was Gezel. But how did it start? It's a slippery slope that ends in these things, but what was the beginning? Says Rabbi Eliezer Kahan, the problem was there was a priority of Gashmius over Ruchnius. There was a focus and a sort of a running towards materialism, and that's alluded to in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vatishaches ha'aretz lifnei elokim, i.e. that the aretz was lifnei elokim, that the material, the land, the physical, was always put in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was always put first. The material was done, and then the spiritual. So you see that there's an allusion to this idea that destruction comes when the physical is prioritized before the spiritual. The pshat in the pasuk is vatishoches. It was destroyed because ha'aretz lifnei ha'olekim. And you see that this time of year we've just switched from saying either merit atala. We've added mashiv haruach merit hageshem. The Bali Musa say that again. It's meant to remind us of our priorities. It's mashiv haruach. We should try and sort of rejuvenate and focus on the ruach, the ruchnias, or merit hageshem. We try and reduce the gashmius, the attachment to physicality, to materialism. And indeed, that's that they say that that's the pshat in the pasuk in Vayis Chanon. The pasuk says, "V'yodata yom ha'shevesel v'vechol," famous pasuk, "ki Hashem hu elokim b'shamayim mima'al ba'al ha'aretz mitochas." That b'shamayim mima'al, when it comes to spiritual matters, look at people who are ma'al, who are better than you. A person, let's say, it can be anything. A person davens. So you can, you know, pat yourself on the back and say, look, I daven, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. But don't, who are you comparing yourself to? Don't compare yourself with people whose davening is inferior to yours. Compare yourself to people, mima'al, who daven amazingly. And just always aspire, we said before, kina sofrim. But when it comes to physical matters, v'alaoretz mitachas, look at people who are worse off than you. Don't be, you know, don't covet the bigger house or the bigger car or whatever it may be. But v'alaoretz, when it comes to material, physical matters, mitachas, look, this person hasn't got as much as I've got. I should be content with what I've got. It's all relative. It's all relative. And therefore, b'shamayim mima'al v'alaoretz mitachas. So therefore, says Reb Leizer Kahan, b'tishochis, that the world in the time of the Mabul was destroyed. What was the catalyst? What was the starting point for this? Ha'aretz lifnei olakim. The focus on aretz, on artzius, on material and physical, was prioritized before the spiritual. And ultimately that caused the destruction. And that's what we remind ourselves of. Mashif ha'ruach ha'moirit ha'geshem. We should be meshiv, we should sort of encourage the ruchnias and moirit the geshem. And that's alluded to in the Pasha in Vayis Chanon. I think we'll leave it there in the final idea, which is on the sheet. Please God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us strength and we'll return to in the future year. But let me just quickly summarize the five ideas that I've mentioned this evening. Number one, the idea from Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, beautiful idea. Three praises of Noach. That Noach was an Ish Tzadik, he was Tomim B'dayrosov, and Esarekim is Halech Noach. Those three praises correspond to the three Averas that took place in the time of Noach, i.e. Erva, Avodah Zorah, and Gezel. Each of those praises say that Noach was totally naki, was totally innocent of all those three things, and that's why he was spared. We saw the idea of Shimon Shkop, of Yesh Dershim L'Shvach and Yesh Dershim L'Gnai, that beautiful idea that everyone agrees that Noach was a tremendous tzaddik. The only machlokas is what triggers a person to become even greater. Is it the company of tzaddikim, or is it the company of Rishoyim, which sort of encourages a person, spurs him on to greater heights? That's what they're really arguing about. And then we saw that amazing idea of the Kasha Rov, that very strange final pasuk of the Torah. As Rashi explains, referencing all the accolades of Moshe Rabbeinu, his final epitaph, almost the words of his Matzeva, and that Le'ene Kol Yisrael, he broke the Luchos, was that such a high point? The Teretz is that, says the Kasha Rov, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Noach. He had to rectify the shortcoming of Noach, that he wasn't sufficiently selfless for the rest of his generation. And Moshe Rabbeinu's high point of selflessness was when he says, "Machenino misifrecha." He showed that he was amazingly selfless on behalf of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And Machenino spells the words "Mei Noach." Backwards, it spells "Machenino" is "Ani Noach." And therefore, that at that point, that's when he was misak and he rectified the shortcomings of Noach. The Malbim, the amazing Malbim that we find refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the dimensions of the Teva, that spell out the combination of the two Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the message of the Teva is that as we go through difficult times in our own personal, communal, international pandemics and floods that threaten to engulf us, the only refuge is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And the final idea from Reb Leizer Kahan, the Menal of Gate said, "Vatishochis," that the world was destroyed because Ha'aretz Lifnei Olakim, that there was a focus, there was a priority on the physical before the spiritual, and that was a catalyst for a sort of a downward slippery slope, which ultimately led to Gezel and to Arias and to Avodah Zorah and Vatishoches for the world to be destroyed. Thank you for listening. I wish you all a very good evening and a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov. Bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.